And I realized this morning I didn't introduce myself. My name is Dave Fleischer. I am an ag engineer with the USDA ARS in Beltsville with the Crop Systems and Global Change Lab. And make sure I stay myself on target here. Okay. So this is a presentation, some work that came out of our group with Beltsville. And the topic is, I changed the title slightly from what's in the brochure. The idea is we're looking at ways to model carbon and leaf area allocation in plant canopies using a single leaf. And originally I wanted to focus on looking at an optimization technique. And as I started developing the presentation, I thought it made more sense to look at overall different strategies, including optimization. So I'll touch on all this in the talk. Briefly, as an overview, what is it that we're trying to accomplish in our group? In essence, what we're developing and trying to improve on what's called explanatory crop models. And very briefly, these are models that combine process-level mechanistic approaches where we're trying to quantify what's happening on a physiological process or a physiological level, usually at an organ level with starting with an individual plant. And then where we have various knowledge gaps, we use empirical relationships and combine those with our mechanistic approach. And that gives us some tools to help address some of the soil plant atmospheric questions that we're all interested in. One of the key factors in the majority of these models is getting the accuracy of simulating leaf area production in the canopy. And most of the models assume that leaf area expansion is potentially driven by thermal time or some kind of nonlinear relationship with temperature. And then this usually gets restricted by some kind of plant status, whether it's nutritional or water stress. And in most models, the leaf area production is then linked to a carbon constraint, which through a variable called specific leaf area. And this can either be a constant or a variable depending on the model. So as a modeling construct, at least, what can happen is if there's high carbon demand for both leaf area production for other organ growth, you can get sort of a situation where the actual area production of the plant is limited by a sort of a carbon stress. And there's also some anecdotal experimental evidence to support the idea that carbon stress is not just a modeling construct, that one thing that might be limiting plant potential expansion is also the limitation of carbon. We've done some studies with potatoes grown at this identical growth temperatures but different CO2 levels and found differences in, for example, individual leaf growth, that the leaves are larger when they're grown under elevated CO2. So the objective of at least for this particular talk is we're developing our models to kind of focus on the individual leaf as opposed to looking at sort of a quote-unquote canopy as a single leaf or as a big leaf approach. So our goal is we're looking at individual leaf-level processes and scaling them up to the whole plant. So for this talk, the focus is looking under a model simulated carbon stress to the plant. A couple questions we're going to look at is there a most efficient or a more optimal way to allocate carbon to each leaf? And this will become more clear as I go through some of the background material. Probably the most important question is, does it really matter? Or, quote-unquote, who cares? And the last thing is there a real-world analog to any of these allocation strategies? And so the approach that we're looking at is use the calibrated potato model that we call SpudSim. And I look at different allocation approaches just using a constant day-night air temperature from a couple of our growth chamber studies. This isn't comparing it with experimental data yet, but this is just looking at simulated results. So real briefly, talking about the potato model, I mentioned that our focus is looking at individual leaves one at a time. Okay. And so one thing we have to consider is the leaf initiation rate or the appearance rates in the canopy. And this is in the model, it's simulated as a nonlinear function of temperature. We use a modified beta distribution function. And so this is primarily driven by temperature, but if there's not enough carbon reserve in the plant, it won't form new leaves. So there is a carbon limitation. What's more relevant to this talk is the leaf expansion rate. And this is a routine that I modified from Ning and Loomis. And the idea is this is a relative leaf expansion rate. So each leaf has a potential maximum or genetic maximum expansion rate. That gets limited by the physiological age of the leaf, which is primarily temperature, a function of temperature, the current air temperature of that leaf, and then there are any limitations of plant carbon or simlet status and nutritional and water status. And just to show you, this is some experimental data on the left. And I mentioned about having anecdotal evidence for carbon-limited leaf growth. This is individual main stem leaves on potato. On the y-axis is the final size, and on the x is different growth temperatures. The bottom line is the potatoes grown at ambient, and the top is at elevated CO2. And so you can see that at most temperatures, particularly as temperatures drop colder, which is more favorable for potato growth, you do see that the elevated CO2 plants have larger leaves. And so when I implemented this model, this was based on assuming the maximum potential rate from elevated CO2 studies. And this is a simulated curve of an individual leaf. And this dashed line here is if there's no carbon stress to this equation here. The solid line is what happens if you just limit carbon for the first 3 or 4 days after that leaf appears in the canopy. And you can see by doing that, it matches up with the experimental data, which is these dots here. So the point of this is that any limiting resource, at least in this model, can significantly affect final size, particularly earlier on in the once the leaf appears in the canopy. Some other things that you need to know about the model is we simulate photosynthesis at the leaf level. This is with a Farquhar type C3 model that's coupled with stomatal conductance and energy balance. And this is done for a representative sunlit and shaded leaf. We scale this up using a sunlit and shaded leaf area fraction. And then the most important thing out of this is, so you get an idea of hourly carbon availability in the plant. And this needs to get allocated to other organs. And this is done in the model based on different percentages to other organs that are all derived from the potential leaf growth. And so this gets adjusted for plant status and developmental stage. And the issue is, if all that potential carbon demand starts to exceed the photosynthesis, then you have to reduce carbon allocation proportionately. And so what we're interested in is there an optimal way to distribute that to the leaves? Because as I noted, if you restrict carbon early on to that leaf, you have a big effect on the final leaf size. So that's really where the motivation for this is coming. So the first issue is, does it really matter? And this is sort of a roundabout way of saying it could. This is looking at simulated data. This is total canopy leaf area now. And the top is at a 23-day, 18-night study. The bottom is at 14-10. This is leaf area versus days after emergence. And the blue is if I removed any carbon limitation to leaf expansion. And the red is if I just let the model run as it normally would with usually you have carbon stress during the season. And you can see it's a pretty big difference in leaf area production. And this also translates into biomass and yield differences. So at least from a modeling sense, this does really matter. And so the question is, okay, what kind of regimes can we look at, allocation regimes? And so there's basically four different regimes that I focused on. I'll talk about the first three first and then talk about the fourth one last. The first scheme, and these are just very simple basic ideas, equal priority to all the leaves. So when the plant's carbon stressed, each leaf gets a certain reduction in percentage of its carbon demand. And so there's no favorability, that's a word. There's no priority there. Basically, all get the same weights. The second, it makes sense more from an actual physiological sense that you give youngest leaves highest priority. And a lot of the literature shows that when leaves are less than 30% of their final size, they actually are relying on export for almost 100% of their demands. So this actually has more of a real-world analog to it. And then the last case would be giving the oldest leaves the highest priority, assuming they don't export anything unless they don't need it. And then the fourth approach, which I'll talk later, is using this optimization idea. So just evaluating the first three approaches, what I'm going to show over the next three slides are just different results from different growth temperatures. And this is basically looking at leaf area profiles in the canopy at different days after emergence. So this was the coldest temperature. This is at 14-10 day-night degree. And again, this is leaf number on the main stem versus the area of the profile. The different colors correspond to the different allocation schemes. So at this first week, it's kind of hard to see at 7 days after emergence, it's kind of hard to see the difference. But the black is if there's no carbon limit in the model. The blue is when all leaves have equal priority. The green is if the old leaves have priority. And the red is when the young leaves have priority. And you can kind of see at this early stage that there's already starting to be differences with at least the oldest leaves in terms of their size. Coming down to 14 days after emergence, it's more clear. Here's the if there's no carbon limitation. Here's if the young leaves have priority. And this is actually more of a normal profile. Coming down to the equal priority versus the old leaf priority, you kind of see the profile gets a little skewed. And then this is really strange at 28 days. As you continue in the simulation, the young leaf profile makes the most sense from what we observed experimentally. But you get these strange dips with the other two allocation schemes. And the reason for this is because I mentioned that the leaves are really sensitive when they're young. And so any kind of restriction in carbon affects their future growth down the road. And that's what's causing that strange dip. Going back to the who cares question, this is looking at differences in production of area, biomass, and yield. And the thing to get out of this is basically the young leaf allocation, not only does it look more normal, but the area production, the total biomass and yield is about 5 to 10% higher than the other two schemes. And these results were consistent at different temperatures. This is a 23-18 study. It's a little bit more pronounced because the leaves are growing faster as temperature increases. So you can see earlier on more differences in the profile formation. So again, this is 7 days, 14 and 28. And the differences are even more pronounced because the leaves are growing faster. And again, the differences between the young allocation and the other schemes, at least for the equal and old, is again about 5 to 10% difference. And then going up to a really warmer temperature, this again gets even more pronounced. And the same type of results are observed where leaf area didn't differ as much in this case. However, we did see differences, a slight increase in biomass, and about a 5% increase in yield. So initially, some of the discussion points, let's see how we're doing here. Okay. The differences in response to different allocation schemes is about 5 to 10%. It appears the model was overly sensitive to early carbon stress with at least the equal and old approaches. And the youngest allocation approach results in the highest dry matter leaf area values. It has the most normal from an experimental standpoint looking profile. And that there is this sort of real-world analog where young leaves should receive most of the carbon import. And these responses appear consistent over different temperature regimes. The other thing I want to talk about really briefly was another approach that I'm working on. And this is the idea of using an optimization approach to distribute carbon to each leaf using what's called a cost function. Instead of having some pre-derived allocation strategy, you pick a certain function for the plant. And that might be, in this case, I'm showing, okay, the goal is actually to maximize gross photosynthetic rate in the whole canopy. But because it's an optimization, usually you try to minimize a function. So in this case, the idea is we want to maximize the integration of gross photosynthesis across all leaves in the canopy for a certain time horizon, which might be 1 hour, or might be a day, or might be a week. And then you take the negative of this because you want to minimize that function. So minimizing this will maximize your photosynthesis. And the idea is to get this vector of carbon allocation amounts to each individual leaf, where there's N leaves in the canopy. And then what gets more complicated is this is a nonlinear response. But then you've got constraints. You can't give a leaf negative amounts of carbon. You can't give a leaf more carbon than what the demand is, although I guess technically in the real world you could, but in the model you don't want to do that. And then you also have to make sure that all the carbon allocated to each leaf, if you sum it up, can't exceed the total amount that's produced. So the way to incorporate all these constraints involves what's called a penalty function, where you can incorporate these constraints into the function. So this gets pretty messy, but there are algorithms to try to solve this, and that's what this is describing. I haven't had a lot of success getting this to converge yet, but we're working on it. So what I wanted to show is some initial iterations from doing this procedure and how it matches up with the other allocation schemes. And so this is just showing some of the initial results. Okay, really quickly. So the y-axis here, as you go negative, you're decreasing your cost function, which means you're increasing your photosynthetic rate. So that's what you want. And this is looking at a 7-day time horizon. All the x-axis is different trials. So it's just different trials that the algorithm is identifying for that carbon allocation vector. And the thing to point out here is as it's going more negative, what it's actually doing, that trial is corresponding to more carbon being allocated to the younger leaves over the older leaves. So it's actually matching up what we saw with the younger leaf allocation profile. It's not completely a one-to-one comparison because even at these most negative points, it's not giving 100% priority to all the young leaves. There still is a little bit going to the old leaves. So there's a slight difference, but overall it's supporting what we found with the young leaf allocation approach. So in summary, concept stress is important, at least to crop models. We looked at different options for allocating carbon to leaves. The difference ranged between 5 to 10% across the growth temperatures that we studied. And the initial optimization results were consistent with the young leaf allocation scheme. And as far as future goes, we want to get this thing to converge, the optimization routine, so I'm still working on that. I've got already experimental data looking at leaf area profiles as affected by CO2, so the next step is to compare the different allocation schemes with leaf area carbon content and final leaf sizes. And then I also want to see if I can add this carbon allocation optimization idea to allocating it to different organs as well, not just to leaves. So with that, I've got about 2 minutes for questions. So I'd be happy to, yes?
Older leaves have more shading in your model than younger leaves?
Yes, they do, although the version that I used for this particular, to produce this data, it just splits the canopy into a sunlit and shaded fraction. So it gets sort of an average direct beam PAR and then an average diffuse amount of PAR at each leaf. So it's not really doing it in layers. But yeah, that's what would happen. Your bottom leaves are getting more shaded than your top. And we actually do have a simpler model where we just focus on leaf area production and cut out any tuber initiation stuff. And we're also looking at doing a layered model one at a time to see if we get differences in the routine.
Sure.
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head. I imagine at 28 days, it depends on the temperature, it's probably around 1.5. And in the colder temperatures, it's going to be a little bit more leaf area also. So yeah, clearly the temperature is going to influence your shading and your shading component. Yeah. Martin?
I had a question about the effect of light.
That's a good question. Each leaf has a, the specific leaf area varies with leaf age. And I have to, I can't remember, I meant to actually check this because I knew it was going to come up. I think it's declining with leaf age, so your leaves are actually getting thicker. And then also, if your carbon status increases in the plant and there's not as much carbon demand for other organs, that extra carbon gets reallocated to the leaves, so it'll result in thicker leaves also. And eventually, that if it keeps building up, that'll result in some kind of feedback inhibition for each individual leaf in terms of photosynthetic rate.
In your model, you're increasing leaf area if you're short of carbon, but in the real world, if you grow plants under low light, it becomes thinner, the leaves become thinner. So I'm just wondering how
that. Yeah, I haven't looked at that. Yeah, I don't know how that would respond, but that's might be something that's probably something to check out. Yeah. Probably one more question. Then.
Regarding the optimization, how many parameters that you have, and how can you ensure that you not going to meet the, you don't have the non-uniqueness of the parameter optimization?
Yeah, that's what the issue is. Especially one of the issues with using this kind of search routine that I have, it's a downhill simplex. The more dimensions you have, the harder it is to converge. And I think the other part of the issue is that you have to make sure that the constraints have the same magnitude as your cost function. And I think otherwise it's evaluating different parts of that penalty function differently. And so, yeah, I don't have a good answer for it. I mean, I think that's sort of where I am right now, is trying to get this thing, especially as you have more than five or six leaves in the canopy, it starts to become really difficult to get this thing to converge. So there's other... Apparently, there's other algorithms that can be used that you can try to characterize that.
Global optimization methods and shuffle.
Mm-hmm. I need to talk to you after this presentation. But I'm going to, I don't want to, I've already used my time a little, but I'll open up for questions after the break, too. So let me move on to the next speaker. And that is Shame Nair.